I'm Clay Pigeon. Welcome to the Wake and Bake Morning Show podcast. It's a weekly digest of some of the segments and moments that make up the Wake and Bake Morning Show on WFMU. Of course, you can listen live to Wake and Bake Monday through Friday, 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern on WFMU.org. Join me live every morning for the full show. It includes great music, chair throwing, pixie dust, and all-around good vibes.
Oh my God, the man is a maniac.
You can also hear the full show on streaming archives at WFMU.org/playlists/WA. I'm talking to Dennis Dunaway of the Alice Cooper Band, the original band out of Phoenix, Arizona. Good morning, Dennis.
Good morning, Clay.
How are you doing today?
Very good. It's a beautiful day.
It is, and the kids are starting to get excited, and they're writing to me every day going, Clay, can you play that old Alice Cooper song that School's Out? And that made me think of you again, Dennis. Does this happen every year about this time to you guys?
Absolutely.
Right. It's such an iconic song.
Absolutely.
How did School's Out come to be?
When we wrote I'm 18, we were targeting the teenager who was the record-buying age, still living at home. And I'm 18 went over so well that we decided, okay, we're going to write another hit that targets that audience. And since Alice and Glenn Buxton and Neil Smith and Michael Bruce and I all went to school in Phoenix, Arizona at the same time, we got the idea of School's Out, and we could all relate so well because we all still felt like kids whenever we were together.
Beautiful flyaway, somewhere like holy days, wonder what brought me down to earth.
So it kind of just fell in our lap more than any other song, I think. I think it's the only song that we wrote that we knew it was going to be a hit before it was finished.
So let's play it, Dennis, and I'll let you introduce it for all the kids getting out of school right now. What do you have to say to them?
La, da, 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 da.
Well, I'll say that school is a wonderful thing, and once you're out, you kind of miss it. You miss your friends and everything, but there's nothing as exciting as hearing that final school bell that lets you out for the summer.
Boys, if you... Yeah, turn the spotlight around, please. And shine it brightly on Jersey City, our civic showcase community of the week. Jersey City's population, 270,753, and it's growing. The Lenape were here first, peacefully fishing and hunting. 1609, here comes Dutch explorer Henry Hudson.
Met een tikje een Hollands accent, hoe komt dat?
A settlement was established, but relations with the Lenape suffered because the Dutch settlers couldn't coexist with them. Lenape raids were not uncommon. The Dutch massacred 80 Lenape at Pavonia the night of February 25th. 1643. During the American Revolutionary War, the British controlled New Jersey. In the 1800s, former slaves reached Jersey City via the Underground Railroad. Millions of immigrants passed through Jersey City's train stations as those people headed west across the nation. Jersey Jersey City was a dock and manufacturing town for much of the 19th and 20th centuries. Mayor Frank Boss Hogg, King Hanky Panky, ran the city with an iron fist from roughly 1920 to 1950, calling his enemies Reds and Commies.
I'd rather be dead than red.
Jersey City was synonymous with political corruption for years.
Aww.
Waterfront development in the 80s reinvigorated the city. Today, Jersey City's one of the largest centers of banking and finance in the U.S. It's one of the most ethnically diverse cities in the world. Famous people from Jersey City include Broadway and film actor Nathan Lane.
Sing. Wouldn't you like to sing?
Sing a song.
Sing a
media personality Martha Stewart.
But if you have a hole in your hose, you just cut the hose in half.
Legendary comedian Flip Wilson.
The devil made me buy this dress.
Nancy Sinatra.
These boots are made for walking.
And rapper and R&B singer Akon. We hope you're listening, Jersey City. We'd love to be your radio station. Here at Grand Central Station, admiring the beautiful artwork on the roof. It really, when you live here, you can take it for granted. But.
That's true. That's very true. It's one of the most stunning places in New York City, and in my opinion, one of the most beautiful hubs of transportation in the world.
Wow. Have you seen quite a few of them?
Yes, have I have.
You?
Yeah.
What are some other nice ones that come to mind?
I like the one in Baltimore, Baltimore Penn Station. The Pancras Station in London is stunning.
Are you from New York City?
I'm originally from Long Island.
From Long Island?
Yeah.
And where do you live now, if I'm
Washington, D.C.
Why, do you like living in the nation's capital?
Yeah, it's all right. It's not New York.
What makes you happy in life?
My family. I'm fortunate I have good health. I hope it stays that way. And, you know, coming to places like this with my family.
Does it get simpler as you get older, the things that make you happy are not so elaborate?
I think you get more clarity as you get older.
And do you maintain close ties with your family?
Yes, very close to my family.
Right. Sometimes you have the love, but the time can just go by and you don't make that call. And
getting older, you have to set priorities. And I think as you get older, one of them is your family.
Are you optimistic about the future despite all the news that's out there?
Yeah, I am. I am optimistic.
What makes you that way? You believe in humankind at its core?
Yeah, I believe in generosity. I think when all is said and done, there's a lot of bad news around, but I think there's goodness.
Does goodness win?
Yeah.
The karmic wheel, whatever it is?
Yeah, I think there's goodness in the world. What are we going to do? If you're not optimistic, what's the option? You know, who's going to give up? You have to be optimistic.
Somebody out in our audience is feeling down today. I ask the people I interview this all the time. What would you say to somebody out there who's having a rough day? Just a little word of inspiration.
Well, you know, there's rough and there's rough. There's people that really struggle from something that can't be cured by a simple comment.
That you and I can't even imagine.
Yeah, but with that said, don't give up. Just wait. The tide usually turns. No one stays in the valley forever. You come out and just have to hang in there. Surround yourself with people that are positive. Things you like to do, and
that was excellent. I really appreciate your time.
Thanks, Clay. You got your boogie shoes on? Because that's our word of the week, boogie. Boogie, of course, was a term for upbeat blues-based rock in the 1960s, and then for disco in the 1970s. The great John Lee Hooker might be the granddaddy of boogie with his 1948 record Boogie Chillin'.
Boogie Chillin'.
But we can trace the term back to the boogie-woogie piano of the late 19th century. In the early 1920s, the term boogie-woogie was also used to refer to a rent party, and unsurprisingly, the racial slurs you could imagine arising with such a term did, coming into use in the 1920s.
I'm your boogie man, that's what I am. I'm here to do whatever I can.
I started thinking about the word boogie recently while reading the excellent book The Age of Bowie by Paul Morley.
Let all the children boogie.
Writing about Mark Bolan, Morley opines, where has the boogie come from that becomes part of the key to unlock glam stardom?
We love to boogie. We love to boogie. Jitterbug boogie. Bolan Billy boogie.
It's a 14th century synonym for heretic. Yeah. It's a 17th century description of those who commit vile acts like sodomy.
Oh, gosh.
It's a nickname for the devil, for hobgoblins and boogeymen in general, which leads it to be attached to 19th century slaves who took the West African word mbugi with them, meaning devilishly good. This all becomes mixed, diffused, and fixed into music by being the name used for a form of 1920s jazz known as boogie-woogie,
woo!
Which emerged from rough music being played in honky-tonks, which itself formed out of a piano sound reflecting the new clickety-clack train sounds being made on the railway lines crisscrossing America, which had been built by slaves.
Susie, Susie, don't you know I can't make your belly grow?
This unruly, excitable music would be played at house parties, the soundtrack to the pandemonium of pleasure, and to boogie comes to mean to party. Great music is about a great party that is being held somewhere in the distance and which, if you can find it, will make a world of difference to your life and your reality. The boogie is to party, to vault into a protected place where all your troubles are vanquished, and you can instantly change who you are. You will feel no shame at this party. This is no time for shame. Until next week, back to you.
Hey guys, it's Meredith. I'm here at the 2018 Youth Step National High School Stepping Championship in beautiful Newark at Symphony Hall, and we're going to go inside and talk to some step teams. Where are you guys visiting from?
Brooklyn, New York.
Oh, you're local. What's your team name?
Lady Dragons.
How long have you been doing this?
I've been doing it for 4 years, since freshman year. I'm a senior now.
I've been like stepping since I was a younger child because I used to go to after school programs and we used to have step teams and stuff like that. So when I was applying for my high schools, I went and I saw Brooklyn Tech had a step team and I was like, oh, I'm definitely putting that at the top of my list. Over the summer before I came into the school, I was looking online Lady Dragons videos and I would watch all the videos before I came to the school. I knew everyone by face. And then I joined the team and I eventually moved up and it made me happy because I used to look up to these girls and now I am one of them.
We're from Illinois, Chicago, Illinois.
Is this the furthest you've ever traveled for a step competition?
I believe it is, yes. And we're very excited to compete. This is our first time competing at this specific national competition.
How often do you guys practice?
3 to 5 days a week for 3 hours each day.
What's your favorite part of being on a step team?
My favorite part is really the bonding with all of our step team.
Hi, my name is Dante Warwich. I'm from North New Jersey, and my step team is the Bomb Squad, and our theme for this year is zombies, so of course. We have flesh, ripped clothes, makeup, basically to look mean and nasty, right?
Do you have any other pre-competition rituals with your team?
We do a prayer, of course, and we listen to music that get us hyped before we go out there. Because usually, like, when we're standing there before anything starts, we're nervous. But it's like when the music come on, we become one. And then all the nerves go away.
My name is Alan. I'm part of Organized Chaos Step Team out of Brooklyn.
My name is Kevin. Same thing.
Oh, I'm Glory Glory, Kirk Frederick, of course.
Are there lots of girls at competitions?
When I came into it, I saw step as like a primarily girl thing. And it kinda is, because when you go to competition, you see a lot of girl teams. Girls, girls,
girls. I really like the energy that the girls give off from the stepping art, and that how they push it forward and they help us, like motivate us to get more guys to start stepping too.
Do you have a rival?
We have nothing to say about that.
No. The only thing you can do in this sport is focus on yourselves. If people don't like you, then that's on them, but we like everybody, and if they want to compete against us, we're open for the challenge.
Ted, with your Hump Day Hazmat Report.
Thank you, Clay Pigeon. Newcastle, Delaware. Man trapped inside chemical tank in Newcastle. Jefferson County, Texas. Liquid methamphetamine found hidden inside the fuel tank during a traffic stop. Suffolk, Virginia. Gizzards, breasts, legs, and chicken guts spilling onto US 58 northbound in Suffolk. Patterson, California. 80,000 pounds of pineapple spill on the highway, causing delays. Newark, New Jersey, chemical spill at Newark Textile Company, workers evacuated. Salina, Kansas, spud spill onto Kansas I-70, shutting it down for hours. Mario Cuomo, Tappan Zee Bridge, New York, an overturned tractor trailer snarls traffic on the Mario Cuomo side of the bridge. Ellington, Connecticut, tractor trailer carrying thousands of gallons of liquefied manure rolling over in Ellington. Ramsey, New Jersey, Ramsey Rescue clears chlorine-laced trash that fell from truck near school. Lands End Resort, South Carolina, Myrtle Beach Resort, evacuated after bubbling toxic mass crawls up the boardwalk.
Gizzards and guts and pineapples and spuds, all kinds of disasters out there. Now it's up to you, audience, to decide if you want a bonus Hazmat episode here. You ready for that? They wanted station manager Ken. Go!
Jupiter, Florida! Oh. Chlorine leak prompts Hazmat response on beautiful downtown Washington Street.
Always something from Florida and the Hazmat Report. What's your first name?
Manuel.
Manuel, you're a window washer.
I am window washer.
Right now, we're looking at your work partner. How high up is he?
16th floor.
16?
Yes.
There's nothing under his feet but air.
It's nothing.
All your life, you've never been afraid of heights?
Never. But the first day, yes. The first day when I started.
The first day you started washing windows?
The first day gave me scared, a little scared, but I now use it for 23 years.
But you needed the job, probably.
Yeah, I need it, exactly. The people say somebody got to do it.
It seems like it's dangerous work, so the pay would be pretty good, probably.
Yeah, the pay is good. That's why I like it, because the pay, you know, paying good.
Has anything scary ever happened up there where you slipped a little bit?
Sometimes, you know, when you sleep, you get a little scared.
So you still get scared now and then?
No.
What's your message in Spanish to our Latin American listeners?
Oh, hola amigo, así. Hola amigo, ¿cómo estás? Así, ¿verdad?
Thanks, man. Good luck up there.
Thank you.
All right, keep those windows nice.
All right, thank you.
Thanks, my friend. And opinions on the topics that matter most to us. It's Quick Takes with Fabio. Bob, what's on your mind this week?
I've been looking at the latest trends in fashion. You know, a few years ago, I remember there were these dresses and skirts that girls or women would wear all over. Every other woman had to have one of these skirts with, it was short in the front, you know, like above the knees, and long in the back, way, way down further. So it was this weird sloping thing front to back. And for a few years, every spring and summer, like every other woman on the street had to have one of these. Now that's faded. This year, the thing is athleisure wear.
Aww.
And I guess it's already been around for a year or two now, but this year it really is taken off. Every other woman has these tights, you know, it's sort of athletic wear, what you would wear to the gym to work out.
Go down into a nice deep squat. Bring that knee to elbow and right back down into the squat.
Workout clothes, basically. But they have a particular look. They're very tight. Spandex, I would guess. And part of them are see-through or sheer, so you could see the legs and or parts of the torso, whatever. Every other woman has one of these things on. It's absurd, you know? It's just like, oh, I'm going to be hip now. I'm going to wear what everybody else is wearing. Come on, people. That's sheep mentality. Fashion is not something that you should follow. It's something you should create for yourself. Fashion is what somebody else cooks up and spoon feeds to you. Get with the program. So the other thing that's been kind of odd that I've noticed more and more of is people walking around in their pajamas on the street. Just like, yeah, I'm going to go to the coffee shop now in my pajamas. And flip-flops, too, or slippers. As if that's okay. And I guess it is okay, you know, it is, sure, why not? But it's, come on. What level of laziness do you have to achieve to, like, just say, screw it, I'm going to wear my pajamas out onto the street? You have to really have hit some sort of, like, rock bottom, I would say. Put some clothes on.
There are many animals in New Jersey that are endangered.
Aww.
These are just a few. Endangered species, according to NJ Audubon. .org, the Audubon Society. Endangered species prospects for survival in New Jersey are in immediate danger. Immediate danger because of a immediate danger because of a loss or change in habitat, overexploitation, competition, disease, disturbance, or contamination.
New Jersey, toxic.
Among the birds endangered in New Jersey, the bald eagle, our national symbol. It needs to fly over open waters to find enough food, and it needs old growth trees for nesting. The fast-flying peregrine falcon, over 200 miles per hour when swooping, it's the fastest animal alive. Endangered reptiles in New Jersey include the timber rattlesnake, a venomous pit viper in the eastern U.S. What about the bog turtle? 18th century surveyors in Pennsylvania first discovered them, just 4 inches long when fully grown, little bog turtles. Amphibians are endangered. The eastern tiger salamander with its large lidded eyes, its little snout, its thick neck and sturdy legs, its long tail. How they crave small insects and worms. And the mammals are in trouble. The bobcat has been around since the Irvingtonian stage 1.8 million years ago, and now it's almost gone.
Gone.
The eastern wood rat, a bush rat, a little pack rat. Its huge den built to last for generations, but it's in decline. It's gone altogether in many areas. And all the whales offshore are in trouble. The invertebrates, too. The gaily flitting Mitchell Satyr butterfly, Mariposa.
I chase the bright, elusive butterfly of love.
And among the fishes, the short-nosed sturgeon. All of these endangered right here in New Jersey. We love animals here at Wake and Bake. We hope you do too.
Today on Wake and Bake Science, it's the science of walking. Walking, or bipedal ambulation, has long been recognized as one of the most beneficial forms of physical exercise. And the Center for Disease Control has even documented the relationship between walking and an increase in life expectancy. And a recent study prepared by universities in Australia, the UK, and Scotland, and published in the British Journal of Sports Medicine, suggests that walking at an increased pace improves those benefits even more. According to the report, walking 30 minutes a day at an average pace will reduce your mortality risk by 20%. But walking at a vigorous pace can reduce that risk by 24%. So as you're walking to work or to school or doing errands today, don't be afraid to pick up the pace. And if somebody tells you to slow down, tell them to take a walk. Stay tuned to Wake and Bake for more science.
Check the movie Minute Now with Caroline Gollum on Wake and Bake.
Good morning, listeners. This is Caroline Gollum, senior contributor for ScreenSlate with your Movie Minute.
He is a gothic hero in the living, lusting flesh. He smolders a mobile furnace.
Only British bad boy Oliver Reed could earn an intro like that. The swarthy thespian made his name as a hellraiser of English cinema with his boozing, brawling, and saucy interviews. Built like a rugby player with the soul of a poet, Reed could turn on a dime from suave leading man to short-tempered villain. As a young actor, he played small parts as bikers and teen rebels, until Hammer Film Productions offered him the leading role in 1961's The Curse of the Werewolf. Taking a chance on the wild unknown paid off. Curse of the Werewolf was a box office success for Hammer, and Reed went on to international stardom. He was even considered for James Bond at one point. Legendary makeup artist Roy Ashton created Reed's iconic werewolf getup, which looks like the love child of Martin Van Buren and those wolf boys you see on the cover of Weekly World News. Get an up-close and personal look at Reed's freaky visage when Curse of the Werewolf screens Monday night at the Quad Cinema in Manhattan. For more cinematic goings-on, be sure to check out screenslate.com. I'll be back next week. Until then, see you at the movies.
Hey, 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 hey! Foiled you, you son of a biscuit! That'll show you! Stinking CDs! Today in history... Jesus! You're ready for the shaving cream? I got a little time here. I kind of relax into this today in history. June 12th, 1550, the city of Helsinki, Finland is founded by King Gustav I of Sweden. I guess Sweden used to pretty much own Finland till Finland said, I've had enough of you, Sweden. We're stepping out on our own. We're Finland now. You can go to Helsinki. 1665, Thomas Willett is appointed the first mayor of New York City. That's where that Willett's Point comes from. 1817, the earliest form of bicycle, the dandy horse, is driven by Carl von Drache. I got a new dandy horse. Look at it. Look at me dandy horse. I got to oil the chain of me dandy horse. 1987, the Cold War, the Brandenburg Gate. U.S. President Ron Reagan publicly challenges Mikhail Gorbachev to tear down the Berlin Wall. Tear down that son of a...
Mr. Gorbachev, open this gate. Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
Ta-ta-ta-ta, grab a harmony.
Happy birthday to you.
If it's your birthday, happy birthday today. From all of us here at WFMU, you are in good company, my friend. Look at all these birthdays. George H.W. Bush is 94 today, still kicking, 41st president of the U.S. Vic Damone, geez, I saw him in Vegas back in 1976. He was great. We lost him, though, this year. Gosh, I didn't know that. Vic Damone, gone. Under the Ground. Anne Frank was born this day, 1929. Of course, the Diary of Anne Frank. We lost her in 1945. Jim Nabors, that's Gomer Pyle, right? Shazam! From Gomer Pyle, USMC. Great singer, Jim Nabors. Lost him in 2017. Chick Corea, happy birthday, the great pianist. I wish I could play like him. Don't you? A certain degree of pianist envy? Reg Presley, no, it's not Elvis. Reg sang for who? That's right, the Troggs. You do that. We lost him in 2013. Bunny Carlos, drummer of Cheap Trick, happy birthday, born in 1951. Pete Farndon from The Pretenders. Geez, that was a good band with James Honeyman Scott. Lost both of those guys. But we still have Chrissy and Martin. Kenny Wayne Shepherd, young guitar slinger. Happy birthday. 77. Geez, he's pretty young. And Brad Delp. You know who that is, right? Brad Delp. Lead singer of Boston. Ah, we lost him too. The good die young. Brad Delp from Boston. Would have been his birthday today.
It's more than a feeling.
Great singer.
See my Marianne walking away.
I miss you, Brad Delp. WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope in New York City and Rockland County at 91.9 FM and online at WFMU.org. You've been listening to the Wake and Bake Morning Show podcast. Did you enjoy it?
Yes.
Good. It's a weekly digest of the special features and moments which make up the Wake and Bake Morning Show.
Woo!
After all, you wouldn't want to miss special moments like this. Ah, you're in a good mood today, aren't you?
Oh!
It's the Wake and Bake Morning Show. Set your alarm and join us each Monday through Friday, 6 to 9 a.m. on WFMU.org. A little too early for you? Catch the archive show, which you can find easily on WFMU's homepage each day. I'm Clay Pigeon. They call me the Pigeon. Join me each morning for the full show, either on the radio or online at WFMU.org. And keep glistening.